Time for the Big Picture program with A.B. Dawji, and welcome him onto the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mufti?
Very well, and yourself?
Alhamdulillah, things are wonderful here in Durban. I just got my ropes and hiking boots. I think I won't do anything strenuous today, maybe some rock climbing.
It's a light drizzle here in Gauteng the entire evening, some rain through the morning also. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Alhamdulillah.
The story that caught your eye.
Well, before I get to the crazy stories that made it into the media, let me first look at a few things that would be good for a chuckle. Firstly, on a radio station here in Durban, a lady sent this message. I am looking for a good second-hand car for my mother-in-law. If anyone out there knows of a good car, please let me know. My first choice is a Ford Kuga. Please contact me urgently. Hey, what a caring daughter-in-law, eh?
Definitely.
And now to the to social media. Donald Trump's vice president is Michael Pence, or Mickey. You can call him Mickey for short.
Mm.
So Mickey and Donald will be in the White House. Someone suggested that the White House should be renamed Disneyland. Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck are the main attractions. People can be so cruel, eh? Very cruel. Now, Yunus, who will remain anonymous, regularly sends me some really interesting stuff via email. Now, here's something he just sent, which I guarantee you, will have no impact on your life whatsoever. But nevertheless, it's still very interesting. The first one is about the cost of living here in South Africa compared to other countries. And there is a yardstick, a measurement that is usually used. The price of McDonald's Big Mac meal. So let's compare the price of a Big Mac meal to what we pay here in South Africa and other countries. In South Africa, the meal costs 55 rands. In China, it is 69 rands 31 cents. In Dubai, 92 rand 79 cents. In London, 95 rand 56. In Berlin, 101 rand 52 cents. New York, you will pay 109 rands. And the most expensive Big Mac meal would be in Sydney, Australia, at 112 rand 85 cents. Almost double what we are paying here. So there you have it, folks. If you are planning a holiday and you've got half a dozen kids, think very carefully. Your whole budget may just disappear into chow. Better stay at home. 55 rands for a Big Mac meal here. Or in Shanghai, in China, you can go there. It's only 69 rands. Go anywhere else and you may get Shanghai'd. That's a nice Durban term. I still remember when I went on the Mediterranean cruise, we stopped in Rome and went on a bus tour. At one stop, one fellow came back onto the bus with the smallest bottle of Coke, the very tiny one. And he looked very pale. I said, what's wrong, bro? And he said, no, nothing. I said, hey, tell me, you're looking very troubled. And he said, hell, you know how much I paid for the Coke? 85 rands.
Wow.
I burst out laughing and pointed to the floor to some drops that fell out of his bottle. I said, hey, Brazo, you better lick that up. It must be worth at least 5 rands. He didn't think that was very funny. And Yunus also sent me this fascinating information. It's about the salaries of our politicians. Let me run through some of the interesting ones. Jacob Zuma. Our dear Jacob Zuma, his salary for 2016, that's for the year, was 2.87 million rand. Now, Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa, he got 2,716,796 rand. And all the cabinet ministers, each one of them, their yearly pay is 2,309,262 rand. And deputy ministers get 1,901,726. the Speaker of the National Assembly, Baleka Mbete, she gets 2,760,798. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Baleka Mbete gets for saying, order! The honorable members, order! 2,716,700. And the leader of the opposition, Maimane, he gets 1,494,192 rand. And the Malema, leader of the minority party, he gets 1,226,606 rand. And if you're just an ordinary MP, you will collect 1,033,438 rand. So there you are, folks. There you are, folks. That's what our politician gets paid. Do you think you are getting your money's worth? Zuma, as I said, gets 2.87 million rands a year. And that would work out to, let me check very quickly, yeah, 239,166 rands per month. Did you get that? 239,166 rands a month. Good heavens. That's so little, eh? Our dear president works so hard. And ordinary MPs, they earn 1,033,438 rand. That works out to 86,119 rands per month. Good heavens. You know what, Mufti? I'm wasting my time with all the tourism business and all that. I think I'm going to stand for parliament at the next election. But, dear listeners, be very clear, please. It's not about money at all. No, no, no. Not about tenders or anything like that. I am ready to go to parliament to help the dear people of South Africa. I have a big heart, you see, to improve their lives. As George Bush said, to put food on every family. My intentions are completely altruistic. Altruistic. Hey, that's a nice word. Eh? It means working for the good of others, not for yourself. So, dear ladies, when the Bali comes home today, and as he fills his mouth with dal and rice full up, tell him, hey, those Al-Imdad people are so altruistic, man, working with refugees from Syria. That should get his eyes popping out. Anyway, now to a weird story that caught my eye. At this time of the year, people get all kinds of allergies, sinuses, all clogged up, and rashes, and so on. Well, that's nothing compared to what Joanna Watkins, what she goes through. Let me read to you from the Daily Mail. The 29-year-old Minnesota, of course, the USA, she's from Minnesota. She has a severe form of disorder called cell activation syndrome, which means she's allergic to almost everything, including chemicals, the outdoors, even the outdoors. She's dust also, and most people's scent, even the natural scent of people. And so far, she hasn't responded to any treatment. Her allergic reactions range from rashes, bone pain, losing consciousness, and anaphylactic shock, whatever that means. She lives with her husband at a friend's house, while the couple's own home is being renovated for Joanna. But Joanna lives in a sealed room upstairs by herself with air purifiers. Her allergies are so severe that the friends don't cook in the house. She can only drink water and is allergic to most foods. She has been eating the same two meals for the past year. Joanna told the BBC, the couple have date nights. Husband and wife, they have date nights when they watch a TV show in separate rooms at the same time and text each other while they are watching it. The only people Joanna isn't allergic to are her brother and sister, who visit her once a week. So, dear listeners, what do you think of that? Actually, to be honest, I don't think that this is unusual at all. I've often heard that there are many women whose blood pressure shoots up and they get grumpy as soon as the hubby comes home from work. Sometimes bullies can be really irritating, eh? Flogging themselves in front of the TV and expecting to be served like a king. Okay, here's another shocking story. I think it's absolutely horrible. At a research laboratory in San Diego, Mufti, you there?
Yes.
So at this research laboratory in San Diego in California, scientists have managed to inject stem cells, human stem cells, into an embryo of a female pig. The embryo was later taken out and has pig and human tissue. This is an experiment that hopes to lead to the development of full human organs within pigs. Wow. Let me just read something. The research raises ethical issues. If too much human DNA is introduced into a pig's embryo, it could result in a pig with a human brain, in inverted commas, a human brain or a human face, although as yet these concerns are a long way from being realized. Dr. David King, director of Human Genetics Alert, the secular watchdog group, said, "I find these experiments very disturbing." Well, yes, Dr. King, I fully agree with you. Scientific advancement is great, but to the direction some of these research is taking is absolutely troublesome. In fact, frightening. This is all Frankenstein stuff here. Okay, very quickly to a local story. The big issue has been the poaching of rhino horns. This has been headline for quite some time now. It's a very serious problem indeed. And it's all because in the Far East, especially China, the rhino horn is regarded as having great medicinal properties, said to give men a boost in the amorous engagement department, whatever that means. Now, there's a new one. It's been reported that thousands of donkeys are being slaughtered here in South Africa for their skin. The skins are exported to China, Vietnam, and other Far Eastern countries, where the gelatin is extracted from the hides, from the skin, and used for medicinal purposes. The story that caught my eye was a report, a radio report, that these donkeys are killed in a most inhumane manner. Apparently, hammers are used to smash the donkey's head, and then, while still almost alive, they are skinned. Ish, that's just too horrible. But a spokesperson came on the radio, SAFM, the other day, from some health department in Limpopo, and said that this is a very, very serious crime. She said that these animals have feelings, and they should be treated with compassion, and then that they should be respected. Then she said, donkeys are human beings. You know, I always fell off my chair. I waited for the next news bulletin in case I didn't hear properly, and she said it clearly. Donkeys are human beings. Good heavens. What a silly thing to say. And then I thought, actually, it's just the opposite. Some human beings are donkeys. And the prime example is that first-class laddu, my dear friend, Donald Trump.
Yes, with regards to Donald Trump, what do you have to tell us on that front with the latest developments?
Well, dear listeners, dear listeners, I have breaking news. Breaking news. Do you remember Donald Trump when he was on the campaign trail looking for votes? He suggested that there should be some sort of register of all Muslims in the United States. Well, Muslims in the United States were absolutely upset, very upset and angry. And so were many other people also who are not Muslim. But then I heard some good news around that time. Many non-Muslim Americans said if Trump goes ahead with this plan for a register of Muslims, then they, these non-Muslims, will also say that they are Muslims. And so the whole project will collapse because it won't accurately record who is really a Muslim and who is not. What a lovely plan. It actually brought a smile to my face. And this morning I heard Madeleine Albright announced that she will be the first one to register as a Muslim. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And who is Madeleine Albright? Well, she was Secretary of state, which is equivalent to foreign minister, when Bill Clinton was president for 8 years, during which time severe sanctions against Iraq was leading to the deaths of thousands and thousands of people due to the lack of food and medicine. I will forever remember her infamous words at that time when asked on a CBS TV station. She was asked by the interviewer, "Madam Albright, what do you think about the fact that 500,000 children have died because of the sanctions?" And she thought for a few seconds and said, "I think the price is worth it." Shocking. And today she wants to stand up for the Muslim. How nice. I like it. Well, just a little aside, and let's just go quickly to local politics. The ANC Youth League made a big noise saying that Pravin Gordhan must resign because he did not do enough to transform the SAA. Well, they were called up by the ANC bigwigs to Johannesburg and given a big clap, and therefore they apologized. The statement from the ANC Youth League was that they met with the big boys and had what they say, in their words, they had a corrective engagement. I like that, corrective engagement. Well, they were told to shut up and apologize, and this is corrective engagement. Dad would say, "What happened today, Imran?" And Imran would say, "The teacher caught me smoking and took me to the principal's office for corrective engagement." You know, words these days are really interesting. Donald Trump just went into the White House and immediately began dealing with very serious issues, very important issues. The first subject on his list was the size of the crowd that attended his inauguration ceremony. He said that it was bigger. His crowd was bigger than any other president's inauguration ceremony. And TV news networks showed pictures that the crowd at Obama's inauguration was almost double the size. But these facts did not stop one of his spokespersons saying that there were alternative facts. What are alternative facts? Facts are facts. The sun rises in the east. Day follows night. So it's a big joke right now in the United States and all over the world. Alternative facts. That clearly means that Donald Trump has, we all know that he has presented many alternative facts since he began his campaign to be president, and that means lies. And the prediction I made that he won't last long at the White House seems to be spot on. I just read a report that a Republican congressman said that they tried hard but couldn't stop Trump from becoming president, but now that he is the president, they, that is his own party, will connive to do everything to get rid of him. They are waiting for him to make a big blunder. Then they will swoop down, gang up against him, and once he is impeached and booted out, then automatically the Vice President Mike Pence will take over. And of course, Pence is very intelligent, very articulate, much more sophisticated, and therefore, as far as the Republican Party is concerned, very suitable as president. And people in his own party are making panchat about the dunce they are stuck with, especially about these alternative facts that he keeps giving out. This is from the British Independent newspaper. It says here, Donald Trump's emotional maturity and stability are being discussed privately by senior members of his own political party, according to veteran Washington journalist Carl Bernstein, in a turn of events he has described as unprecedented. Bernstein was speaking on CNN late on Wednesday night when he revealed there was open discussion among Republicans about Mr. Trump's fitness to rule.
Mr. Trump has continued to repeat unfounded claims that between 3 and 5 million illegal votes were cast in the 2016 election, helping sway the result of the popular vote against him. There is no evidence to support such allegations, and they have been met with dismay by senior Republicans. Bernstein said, discussions going on in Washington this week were unlike anything I have seen in 50 years as a reporter. Of course, Bernstein and his friend Edward Woodward are highly respected journalists in the United States. They exposed the Watergate scandal which got Richard Nixon booted out of the White House. You may remember all of that. And the big news today is that Donald will be meeting the first foreign leader since he became president. And that, of course, is Prime Minister Theresa May of Great Britain. Well, I'm a bit worried. I wonder whether he's going to meet her in the same way that he said in that infamous video where he bragged that when he met a lady, he grabbed her in the most inappropriate and undignified way. I wonder if Theresa May is worried. She better keep a distance from him or carry a nice big shock stick. So, what's her purpose in meeting with him? Well, after that shocking vote, that will see Britain leaving the European Union, its economy is already going downhill and will get even worse. So she's hoping that Donald will save Britain. And over tea and Nankatai today at the White House, she will be hoping to sign some favorable trade deal. She will, of course, be all smiles and praising him and so on. And most certainly, she won't raise a very hot issue that came up 2 days ago. Torture. Donald the Donkey said on a Fox News interview, are you there, Mufti?
Yes.
Said on a Fox News interview that he believes that torture works and he may consider instituting it once again. We must fight fire with fire, he said. Well, it would be, of course, a crime. If he brought it back, because there is something called the International Convention Against Torture. and people are horrified about what he said. Even a leader in his own Republican Party, John McCain, who was tortured when he was captured in Vietnam, said he would help Donald if he had ever bring torture back. Now, if you remember, they tortured people during George Bush's War on Terror, the utterly despicable Donald Rumsfeld. That's right, Donald Rumsfeld. This Trump is stuck in my head. Donald Rumsfeld and the more disgusting vice president of the United States, Dick Cheney, supported torture, especially waterboarding. They said that torture worked. Of course, they didn't call it torture. They euphemistically referred to it as advanced interrogation techniques. And you all know what waterboarding is all about. You are strapped to a plank like a seesaw, and your head is down, a cloth is put over your face, and water is continuously poured over the cloth, so you really feel that you are drowning, and the heart rate goes right up, and you have a near-death experience. And after quite a while, it is stopped so that you can get your breath back, and it's repeated over and over again. I think that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was waterboarded about 150 times or so. One politician who said, this waterboarding is nothing. I don't know why people are making a fuss about it and calling it torture. And he appeared in front of the media, and he said, look, I'll do it, and I'll show you it's nothing. And so they tied him up to this plank, and they poured water over his face, and he lasted just 30 seconds. And he said, wow, I can't take this at all. Now, there are two problems with torture. Two problems. First, a person being tortured will confess to anything. Anything. Right? I will say, if they have to torture me, that the Pope is my grandfather. Yes, I will confess to anything. And number two, what if you are innocent and have nothing to confess, as happened at Guantanamo Bay? So, let's look at Guantanamo Bay. George Bush said that the people locked up at Guantanamo were the most dangerous criminal in the whole world.
Now, we know that 779 prisoners were held at this military site. And that was since it opened in January 11, 2002. So we just passed the 15th anniversary, just under 2 weeks ago, 11th January 2002, 15 years. 729 of the 777 were released, and 9 died in detention. And there are about 41 still there. So did you hear that, listeners? 729 were released because they did nothing wrong. They committed no crime, yet they were horribly tortured and tortured regularly. Let me give you one example of this gross injustice. Let me read very quickly. We have time, a few minutes more, right?
Yes, we do.
Right. Let me read very quickly from the New York Daily News. It says, who are these men? One, Mustafa al-Shamiri, a Yemeni, is simply a case of mistaken identity. He has been imprisoned at Guantanamo Bay for more than 14 years. The Pentagon now concedes that although he was previously assessed as an Al-Qaeda facilitator or courier as well as a trainer, we now judge that these activities were carried out by other known extremists with the names or aliases similar to his. You see that? He was picked up, locked up at Guantanamo for 14 years because he had a name similar to somebody else who actually carried out some of these attacks. And the article says, further analysis of the reporting that supported past judgment that he was an Al-Qaeda facilitator or courier or trainer has revealed inconsistent biographical, descriptive or locational data that now leads us to assess that he did not hold any of these roles. So can you believe it? This is a statement directly from the White House or the Pentagon that says that they made a mistake. In other words, the article says, in other words, after imprisoning him for 14 years, more than 14 years, the Pentagon now admits that they got the wrong guy. Yet, he is still at Guantanamo. Clearly, he should be released. What do you think of that? And here's the final word. Guess how many of the 779 of the most dangerous men in the world imprisoned at Guantanamo Bay were charged for crimes? How many were charged out of the 779? And the answer is 10. Can you believe it? Only 10. So, there you have it. Oh, Donald Duck wants to bring back torture. And just very quickly, two more things. Firstly, Donald Trump said that there are some cities who are harboring illegal immigrants. He called them sanctuary cities, giving them sanctuary. These cities must say exactly who these people are, give them up so that they can be deported. Otherwise, Donald Trump is going to cut the grants that are being given to these cities. And what's the response? Well, New York, Boston, and other cities told Donald Duck, Futsack, we are not going to do any such thing. We're not going to give up our people who are here and split up families and so on. And about the wall, well, he said he's going to build a wall between the U.S. and Mexico, and now he has announced that he's going to make, well, he said at that time he's going to make Mexico pay for the wall. And so this is how he's going to do it. He's going to put a 20% tax on goods coming from Mexico into the United States. That's how he's going to get the money to build the wall. And this has resulted in the Mexican president canceling a meeting that he was going to have with Donald Trump. So, dear listeners, I think it's going to be a wonderful year. I'm going to make America great again. Well, he's going to make America into a great big pile of manure. I love it, Mufti.
Enough humor to give us there. Light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, I don't have much here. One Jumma day, a mother knocked at the door to wake up her son to go for Salah. When she knocked, he answered, I'm not going to Masjid, I'm not going to Masjid. And the mother asked, why not? And he replied, I'll give you two reasons. One, the Musallis don't like me. And two, I don't like them. And his mother replied, I will give you two reasons why you will go to the masjid. One, you are 47 years old. And two, you are the imam.
Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.